Ukraine security issue.
The General Staff of the Ukrainian Armed Forces reported on Wednesday that almost 21,000 Russian troops had been killed in Ukraine since Russia invaded the country on February 24th. According to the report, the Russians have also lost more than 800 tanks, more than 2,000 armored, and more than 1,500 other vehicles, 170 planes, and 150 helicopters. As President Volodymyr Zelensky said in a comment in his video address, these figures show that the Ukrainian military are evidently head and shoulders above their Russian adversaries in terms of tactics and skills. If the Ukrainian army had enough weapons it needs, this war would end very soon, the president said. Ukraine's eastern Donbas region is currently the epicenter of the Russian-Ukrainian war. It's where Russia has amassed almost all of its combat-capable forces. The Russian troops have President Putin's direct order to take control of the entire Donetsk and Luhansk regions by Easter, which the Russian Orthodox Church will celebrate on April 24th. However, the Ukrainian military leadership is certain that the Russian generals will fail to deliver such an Easter gift to Putin. As part of the offensive on the Donbas, the Russian troops deployed to the southern Kherson, Zaporizhia and Mykolaiv regions are trying to advance northwards in an attempt to encircle the Ukrainian forces that are holding the line in the Donetsk and Luhansk regions. The Russians repeatedly fail to advance and keep sustaining heavy losses. According to Oleksiy Aristovich, advisor to the president's office head, the Ukrainian army is short of heavy weapons that it needs to liberate the Kherson region. The heroic defenders of the besieged Azov port city of Mariupol, now completely encircled in the area of the local steel plant, are holding out with the last bit of their strength. Several hundred civilians remain in the basements and bomb shelters of the plant that was practically razed to the ground by an extra-heavy Russian bomb on Tuesday. The Russians keep shelling the plant from ground and sea-based artillery and missile systems. The defenders have appealed to world leaders for urgent evacuation. Vice Premier Irina Vershuk said the Ukrainian side had reached a tentative agreement with the Russians on opening a humanitarian corridor for evacuating women, children and elderly people from Mariupol. According to Mariupol Mayor Vadim Boychenko, there are still more than 100,000 civilians in the city. The enemy aircraft routinely bomb the city every half an hour, destroying everything here. Of course, residents of Mariupol are in constant danger, and we understand that tens of thousands have been killed. This is definitely a war crime. This is genocide, not what they announced as a liberation operation. They kill the civilian population and do it systematically, said Mariupol Mayor Vadim Boychenko. Forced by the Ukrainian army to retreat, Russian soldiers take away whatever they have collected by plunder. Serhiy Kislytsa, Ukraine's permanent representative to the United Nations, said at a meeting of the UN Security Council. Also, according to him, the occupiers continue to abduct and forcefully deport Ukrainians to Russia, the way the Nazis did during World War II.
The Russian occupiers continue to forcibly transfer Ukrainians from the occupied territories of Donbas to Russia. In Nazi Germany, once did. Filtration camps are an integral element of their transfer. At least 20,000 Ukrainians are kept in filtration camps on the Mangush-Nikolsky-Yalta line. About 5,000 to 7,000 people in the filtration camp in the village of Bezimenna, Donetsk region. According to available information, citizens of Ukraine are sent to the economically depressed regions of the Russian Federation, in particular the northern regions and the island of Sakhalin. Ukrainians receive documents banning them from leaving Russian regions for 2 years. To date, more than 500,000 Ukrainians, including 121,000 children, were forcibly transferred to Russia's territory.
Serhiy Kislytsa, Ukraine's permanent representative to the United Nations. The liberated villages in the northern frontier areas of the Zhytomyr region, many of which are almost completely destroyed, are gradually coming back to life. The residents who survived several weeks of Russian occupation and whose houses are not too damaged have to live next to the graves of their dear ones. They are still unable to rebury the dead at cemeteries where retreating Russian troops planted a countless number of mines. Some villages were lucky to escape and now are happy to be back home. One of them tells her story. We had to bury our cow and pigs and hens. We fled because we couldn't hold out anymore. We walked through the forest for 2 days and nights. Do you know where we got water to drink? From puddles on the roadside, dirty and with black oil. We had some clean water, but we saved it for the older women who were dying on the way. Because of Russia's war against Ukraine, around 6 million people in Ukraine have limited access to drinking water, the UNICEF said in a report. Water and power supply networks had been destroyed in thousands of villages and towns. Also, the spring sowing campaign will most likely be incomplete. The United Nations estimates that about one-third of Ukraine's farmland cannot be sown with wheat, barley, sunflower, and corn, which make the lion's share of the country's agricultural exports. Therefore, Russia's war against this country can result in a global food crisis. The Ukrainian postal service Ukrpošta has announced that it stops selling the original stamp Russian warship at its post offices. The stamp went on sale on April 14th following the destruction and sinking of Russia's flagship Moskva. According to Ukrpošta head manager Ihor Smilyansky, about 700,000 stamps have been sold and the rest 100,000 are still available for online orders.